This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We talk quite a bit on the show about education. And, you know, obviously my wife is a career educator. And so I saw the op-ed by President Judy Olian of Quinnipiac University, and it's in Time magazine. You can go to time.com and read it for yourself. Can young people afford to not go to college? And one thing we've talked a lot about on the show is, you know, other pathways to a good middle, upper middle class life here in New England and Connecticut. And so we thought we would talk about it. And we're glad to have President Olian on the show, President of Quinnipiac University. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Thank you, Brian. I am really good this morning.
So just so, so people know, this is your final year at Quinnipiac. And I mean, how is the swan song going?
Well, I don't really think about the swan song. I think about this as like a race, and that you got to speed up towards the last laps. So we have a great team. We're doing really well at Quinnipiac, and I'm really proud to be handing the baton off to another, what I think will be a fantastic president. It will take us even faster and higher. So we're not slowing down by any stretch.
Yeah, well, my niece is there, and my son went to their open house like last month, and they did a phenomenal job from an admission standpoint. But in terms of this education piece, I'm curious as to why you chose to write this and write it now.
Well, thanks for asking that, and I hope your son does find his best spot, which I think might be Quinnipiac. writing it now, I think it's really important because we do see polls that show that America's confidence in higher education has gone down. And there's no doubt that it is a huge cost, a big ticket item. But my concern is that the conversation often stops at some superficial points without really thinking about the long term. And I would say that you can't afford not to go to college. And actually, in inflation-adjusted dollars, the costs of education have come down. In publics, it's gone down in the last 20 years or so by 37% in inflation-adjusted dollars. In private, like Quinnipiac, it's gone down by 15%. And I would ask you to find other things that have gone down over the last 20 years or so in inflation-adjusted dollars. The consumer price index has gone up 37%. Housing has skyrocketed. So let's not be swayed by the immediate short-term costs. Let's really think about the long-term for your children, your son, daughter, or if you're thinking of going to college yourself, thinking about the long-term. And I can give you some really compelling reasons to do this for the long-term.
Well, so I don't mean to push back, but because I'm sacrificing quite a bit to send my daughter to Tufts right now, and both of my sons hopefully will go to a 4-year college. So I'm a big advocate of it, but at the same time, It's hard for me, like, I don't know what that study is, right? And I do this with politicians as well, because I know that All In Tufts is $93,000. That's the tick. That's the sticker price. And so I haven't done the math in terms of the inflation. So I don't know if it's apples to apples, but what I talk about the long-term earning potential, like, there's a lot of people out there that there's political backlash on higher ed, but in terms of, like, other options, whether it be the trades, you know, we have Electric Boat hiring thousands of people and paying them very well. I mean, there are other avenues. I'm just wondering if the long-term earnings, you're capturing everybody that doesn't go to college? Or I wonder if they broke it down by people who went into the trades or something like that, because I think they're viable, and I don't want to discourage people from doing those things either.
100%. You're so right, Brian. There are a lot of other avenues to make a fantastic living and to hugely contribute to society. So no doubt college isn't for everyone. But on average, and I can only talk about averages, the returns from going to college are 75% higher than going and having just a high school degree. It's about $2.8 million in lifetime earnings. This is $1.6 million. And those higher earnings enable you to accumulate wealth over time, too. There's also an unemployment protection during recessions if you have a college degree versus not having a college degree. 3.7% unemployment on average for college grads versus 6.7% for high school grads. So one of the things you have to think about is really the long-term earnings. It is a huge bite financially in the short term, but when you think about the longer-term returns, and I'll tell you, if you give me a moment, also about the long-term health returns, the long-term career opportunities. People talk about networking effects in college, who you go to school with, whether it's to Tufts or Quinnipiac. You are going to meet people who are going to help you for the rest of your life. You'll have alumni who will give you career advice, faculty, and so on. And when you look at future career needs, when we think about jobs around 2030, 42% of them will require a college degree versus 28% for a high school degree. So you're also future-proofing yourself when you think about college into the long term. And one more thing,
yeah,
and this is something that most people don't think about. College graduates have better health outcomes. They have lower heart disease, diabetes, anxiety, have less likelihood of having high blood pressure. Obesity is lower among high school grads, and the life expectancy, obesity is lower among college graduates, 27% for college grads, 35% for high school. And then the life expectancy of college grads, perhaps because they have better access to healthcare through their jobs, can afford better healthcare, is 5 years long.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Longer, yeah, for a college grad versus a high school grad. So you got to think about all of these outcomes. And what you're doing in hoping that your kids go to college is really future-proofing them.
Well, I mean, I have a couple of quick things I want to get to here with President Judy Olian from Quinnipiac University. Are you feeling any pressure from the federal government and federal funding? Is that hitting your institution?
Well, we certainly are keeping our eye on things. I mean, federal funding for access to higher ed through Pell Grants, through a variety of financial need-based grants, is critically important. We saw that there was a problem last year when we had the financial aid form problems. We need to make sure that that kind of access to higher ed continues among everybody who can afford it and who can't afford it, because the federal government has been so crucial in opening up access to higher ed.
Do you think student loans should be run as a pure nonprofit? I mean, I find that just about everybody I know in the middle and upper middle class needs to go six plus figures in debt to fund it. And it just seems strange that there are people in the private sector profiting off of student loans.
Well, the fact is that there is not enough federal aid to address the need for going to college, and there simply aren't enough sources for people to go into to be able to go to college and find the borrowing sources to really open up their doors. So the federal government is simply not enough in terms of the funding for higher education. That's why we have these private sources. And I will tell you, and I'm proud of that, that at Quinnipiac, you don't, on average, go into six-figure debt because there is a lot of financial aid that comes from the institutions themselves because they make that a priority, as we do at Quinnipiac.
President, Ms. President, Madam President, congrats on your run here in Connecticut. It's good we got a chance to connect, and thank you so much for your time.
Brian, thank you for all you do.